is a Big Facts Network exclusive.
You can call on me. 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 You can call on me.
Oh yeah, it's beat high.
Let's get into it. Yo, another episode of the Big Homies House. We got some homies in the building. Of course, we got Tamira back here. How you feeling? You good?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Yeah. I'm excited
about who we got. Two episodes in a row. We've been able to lift your banishment.
I'm not on punishment no more.
You're not on punishment no more.
Back
you're
in
welcome.
The Big Homies House.
You're welcome. Hello. Of course, you got, this is going to be a good one. Coach Stormy. Stormy Wellington. How you doing, Miss Wellington? How you feeling? You good? Welcome to Atlanta. You know, I know it's not your first time here, but you know, we got good weather finally.
Finally. Yeah. Damn. Yeah. I thought it was going to be gloomy and depressing. Thank God.
Well, that was yesterday, wasn't it?
It sure was. It was freezing yesterday. It rained the whole day. It was
We're on a day-by-day basis, right. But you know, it's a great day today because we're here with Coach Stormy.
Woo! That's right. So glad to be here.
Yeah.
Honor. Absolutely. Love everything you're doing. Love the message that you have. Love the empire you're building. So honor. It's Women's History Month. So we've got a great one with us.
I like that. So, you know, we like to dig into what people are active in right now. So tell the people what Coach Stormy's working on right now that it need to be tapped in with, because I know you got a lot of events, a lot of speaking engagements, a lot of activities and activations. So put us down. What's going on?
Okay, so I got a lot going on. So don't sound like I'm rambling, but I got a lot going on.
And hey,
I
think we love to hear it.
I think that's important that we have a lot going on. It's time to get in motion, especially Women's Month, you know, getting ready for Abundant April. It's time to have a lot going on. So
Abundant April.
Yeah, put that on a shirt.
I've been naming my months for like over a decade. I name my months. I name my years. I don't just go into the year without a vision. So let me stay focused. So March 25th is my day. It's Stormy Wellington Day. So that is a day for women and people in my community to serve. It's any way you can give back, help somebody else get further in life. So that's happening on March 25th.
In Miami.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere around the world, women from my community are going to be doing things to serve.
Wow, that's so cool.
Honor of Stormy Wellington Day. So I'm fired up about that. I believe wholeheartedly in the power and what happens when you give, the principle of giving. So all my girls that's fully active in the community will be doing that on Monday. So I love that. Spending money with women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, buying clothes, shoes, paying rents, car notes, just being fucking nice on Monday.
Yeah.
And then I have my event called The Awakening Intensive Intimate. I've been doing The Awakening for over a decade. It's all about bringing people together, helping them to know themselves, love themselves, and embrace themselves in order to authentically connect, collaborate, and celebrate. So I've been doing this event for over a decade. Normally we have 600, 700 people there, but this time I'm doing it. It's called The Intimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So only 50 people are going to be there. Two-day weekend, three-day weekend for some of the guests. Uh-huh. And it's, again, about helping us to have a higher level of consciousness. You know, we just kind of messed up, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just believe that it's time for us to evolve and change. And so I'm doing all the things that I did to become the woman that I am today, that weekend. So I'm excited about that. And then my podcast. Honestly, my podcast is the most exciting thing for me right now. It's called Success Shortcuts Podcast. We're launching it sometime in April. Uh-huh. I'm excited about the conversations that I've already had with many of our amazing, amazing guests. Hopefully y'all bring me on y'all podcast real soon.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Big Facts Loading. Definitely.
Okay, because I'm ready to talk to my shit. Yeah,
she
did. Big Facts. And then Candy Cleanse. You know, I'm all about health and wellness. I told you I got some Candy Cleanse for you.
All right, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, the Candy Cleanse, I need that because I already dropped a lot. But yeah. I'm trying to
be in the gym. He don't skip leg day.
Yeah, I don't skip leg day. Hello. You know, you got to hit them squats. I perfected my squat. But, you know, it's still things we want to tighten up. I'm trying to be out here looking like Dwayne The Rock Johnson some days. You know, you feel me? I'm trying to be outside with the shirt off next summer. Not probably too late for this summer. But next summer, we're going to get it together.
She got you. She going to give you the...
So the Candy Cleanse.
No, but listen, for real, no joking. Like, you could be a totally different person in like the next, first of all, you'll see a difference in 5 days. Mm-hmm. But Candy Cleanse, it's a juice, it's a drink. You drink it once a day. And within 6 to 8 hours, it's going to flush your system. It's going to flush you of toxins, mucus, and people lose weight. So the first thing that you lose is your abdominal area. You see a lot of people, you know, stomach go from looking pregnant to flat, you know. And I think that a lot of people need to get on Candy Cleanse. That's something I've been doing for over a decade now. It tastes like a juice. It's for men and women, but it's mainly for cleansing your system. Talk to me. It's going to make you take a shit.
Oh, I got that part. Well, you said it's getting out. But I drink. So is my alcohol intake gonna affect like me being on this cleanse? Like, do I have to like no drinking, kind of eat good?
No. Last night I had a lemon drop martini with the candy cleanse.
That's what I want to know.
You could take the sachet.
See,
and you could mix it with anything. You could drink an actual official herbal candy cleanse. Or you can make any drink a candy cleanse. And within 6 to 8 hours, you're going to have to use the bathroom.
A candy cleanse.
So you
can
take your shatini. We call them shatinis.
Love yeah. that.
You can't
see,
take that red martini,
language.
Man.
You said that. Watch me. I'm going to sneak in
just,
my candy
You just got to be home and
know
in 6 to 8 hours, know you're going to be on the toilet.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Okay.
So time
okay.
it. I tell you to drink it. Drink it before you go to bed. So by the time you wake up,
it
handles what it's supposed to handle.
Oh, baby. That is a problem you don't want.
I wish that on you.
Time is so that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about everything I got going on right now.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you mentioned earlier about, like, you know, just the image of women, like, in media right now. Do you feel like, especially, like, with black women, do you feel like that's something that we need to fix? Like, what do you think about the current image that's presented, like, we see in the music and entertainment industry of black women?
So here's the truth, and I hope to not offend anybody. I don't really see nobody for real because I don't pay attention because I be into what I got going on. I'm proud of what's happening with Nicki Minaj. Me watching her back at work, you know, I'm inspired. I'm going to one of her.
Are you a Barb?
No, I'm not a Barb, but she's a queen. Okay. I respect what she's done for the industry. You know what I mean? So I love how she's back working. I think we need to get back in motion. The culture need to get back working. So watching her work, watching Beyonce work, watching Beyonce be creative and change, and now she's doing country music. It's like, who said I can't do country music, you know? So I love that. I love that Cardi B back outside working. Like, I love seeing the girls work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's all I see is the girls working. I love Tamika Mallory and her movement. We have something that we're about to put together because I want to help put the right person in office. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm too influential to not know what's going on in politics. So I don't really know. I really don't. I don't know about what happens in the streets. So Tamika Mallory, which is my sister, is about to put me in a place where I'm able to know. Because I got too many people that listen to me for me not to know who's running for president. I don't even know who's running for president.
You don't know who's running for president?
No, I don't.
But Trump is probably.
No, I don't.
No, it's Trump and Biden.
It's not official.
That's not even true, though. It's more people that's running. See what I'm saying? So
I'm glad you said.
Trump and Biden, but it's also a black man that's running for president.
Them people ain't winning. Yeah, they're not winning.
You can't say that.
But I think it's important that black people do get more involved in politics. So I agree with you.
See, I'm not going to fight you on that because it's your show.
No, this is. Open. This is a push.
We,
back.
Whoever we want to win can win. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't care who the president is. I'm still gonna do what I'm gonna do. But there are some people that need the disabled, the handicapped, the people that are not able. They need to have the right person in office. But I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, that's not really my business. But because I'm so for humanity, I'm about to learn more because I have too much of a voice.
Yeah.
So like, hear you saying, you know, Trump and Biden is the only two running for office. It's like, no, what about the black man? Like that. Now you got me even more charged up because there is a black man running.
Right.
At least we could try. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me Obama gonna be the last black man we had as a president.
Nah, of course not.
But what about how they solicitate our culture? Like, Glorilla went up to hang out the White House with Joe Biden the other day, and they asked her, like, hey, did they ask you anything about policies? And she like, I was just there living my best life. Like, they didn't talk to me about anything political, so they're leveraging our culture and
before,
our influence.
And before that, they had the HBCU students go up there.
And play Sexy Red.
Yeah, and play Sexy Red so at the White House. So it's like, yeah, we're cool.
Us, yeah, but
we look. You can come up here and look cool, but what actual change? Is being made because I'm a college graduate, and the biggest thing for me is student loans. Like, I don't give a damn about you liking Sexy Red as Joe Biden. I don't give a damn about a Joe remix with Glorilla. That's what I care about.
So the policies do matter, but I think that, like, what you're saying, education starts first. We got to know the people out there. We have to become more familiar with the landscapes and policies. We can't just say, oh, it's only Trump and Obama. We do have more options. So I think
Obama?
Trump and Biden.
Wishful thinking, huh?
Wishful. But just to go with what you said, we need to lose our influence more in policy. So I think that it's smart that you're going that route and we're bringing together the faces that need to, that kind of could change things. Like back in the day, remember they did Rock the Vote and everybody was voting. Everybody was talking about voting. They got it so riled up. So I do think that that's an amazing way to go. But when we talk about black women and navigating right now, I have this theory, and I know you could tell me more because you've been in bigger rooms and you've probably experienced it a lot more. Do you feel like there's this kind of underlying notion that there's only room for one black girl at the table, especially in corporate?
Wow. Can I tell you, I do believe that is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it feels sometimes.
And that's all we've seen. And, you know, it's funny because I have made up in my mind that I'm going to be that one black girl at the tables. So I think it's us taking responsibility for what we know and what we don't know, and realize that the only reason why they don't think they could put multiple black women at the table is because what we've shown them. Black women, we could be real mean, real nasty to each other, judgmental to each other, not supportive of each other. So how many successful tables have you seen in real life, for real? 4, 5, and 6 black women at the table. It just doesn't seem to work. So it's like, let me bring one of y'all who got a lot of opinion and a lot of understanding about the culture. Let me bring one, because if I bring 3 or 4 of y'all, it's going to be too much cattiness. I'm a victim of that. I've dealt with that my whole life. I'm the girl that's trying to elevate us, and I get beat up, I get abused, I get, you know, talked about, I get, you know, just disrespected. And so that's why I don't really allow too many black women to have just any kind of proximity to me, because I dealt with that a lot. So it's us. It's our job. That's why I came and said, give me a hug.
You know, I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
You could disarm each other right away.
Come on.
A smile. A how beautiful.
Touch me on that, sister.
That's how, I'm one of those things. Any female I meet, I try to start with, hey, beautiful. I don't care how you look, what you're doing. It just, it kind of makes it softer.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be. When I moved to Atlanta, that was something I saw that was completely different, because I'm from Harlem.
Yes.
So out here, everybody was black. Everybody was nice to each other, though. Like, right. It was like, hey, girl, welcome.
Right.
In New York, you walk in the section, they don't know you. They be like, who the fuck invited this one? So I really enjoyed that here. But when you get to dealing under the layers, it's still that mentality of, I don't know if they're gonna let more than one of us here. So then it gets this doggy.
They would. That's our responsibility.
Exactly. So I like that.
When you get to the table, think about the truth. This is what we live in. You know, like, this is my operation director, and I tell her all the time, like, when I teach you stuff, it's black girl magic. I want you to think of this as me trying to help you understand how we think, how our culture thinks. So I remind her that, literally, hey, Vanessa, this is black girl magic. That's me teaching you. You're Latino. Don't get offended when I say this. This is me teaching you how to think like me. They talk to you before they talk to me. You know what I mean? So I think it's our jobs, the conscious ones that are aware of this, to be the ones that create a different narrative. So when we see a sister and we put her to a table, we let her know, hey, listen, me and you, this the plan. So there's no cadence. If we disagree, it's okay to disagree, but can we disagree respectfully so we don't look like some niggas at the table?
I'm trying to tell you.
So I just think there's just somebody like us, got to keep elevating, but teaching and softening those tables so more of us could sit at the tables. Because hold on, we don't want too many of us at the tables anyway, because too many of us got the wrong idea of what things are supposed to be. So let's put the most talented, with the person with the most receipts, the person who we've seen show up in that area, let's put that person at the table. And if there's more at the table, make sure that that person has evidence that they are qualified to do whatever they were called to the table for.
Amen. I know that's right. Well, thank you for creating sisterhood amongst us black girls.
Yes,
trying to
girl.
Navigate.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I didn't want to interject in that.
Thank
I
you.
I didn't want to.
Appreciate you.
I didn't want to mansplain that situation.
Black
it was like, you know, okay,
moments.
Cool. Yeah, let you women have that moment, okay?
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think sometimes it's the situation of what came first, the chicken or the egg. Was there only room for one person at the table, or was the idea that people thought that there was only room for one person at the table? So it kind of becomes of almost a, I don't want to say crab in the bucket, but it's almost like, damn, it's only room for one. Only one of us can win. And it's not really limited to black women. I feel like it's in a few social circles. Like, niggas coming out the hood. Like, they'll think, like, damn, why it got to happen to him? Why I got to be him and not me? So we just have to, as a culture, and I'm glad you guys are having this conversation about it in when it comes to women. And I just want to add on top of that, like, us as a culture, we need to uplift one another, uplift the qualified.
That's right.
Because there's...
Say that again.
Oh, you got to uplift the qualified. Ooh. Like you said, there are some people that don't need to be sitting at the table. This does not need to represent us.
That's right.
Like when I see and I hate to, like, throw people out, like the sexy red shirt. This shit does not need to represent us. This does not need to be what people say. Oh, well, look at that. That's no, because we have the Beyoncés, we have the AOCs.
Because there are so many real sexy reds out there. There are so many girls in the hood that really are sexy reds.
Does
so
that while need that can't to be amplified?
Only, it doesn't necessarily mean need to be amplified, but representation out there still needs to be that. Every girl isn't a clean, like you still need it, but that can't be the biggest image plastered over for black girls. I get what you're saying 100%. everybody is necessary. There's space for everybody.
That's right, girl.
There are, there's so many sexy reds. There's so many Beyoncé's, Chloe's, Coco Jones. There's room for everybody. Everybody needs to be represented. You need to watch TV and see somebody like you. Like,
that's right.
There's a mayor in Chicago. I can't think of her name right now. But when I seen her video, because she started a podcast recently, so I was watching it. And I was like, if she could be mayor, I could be mayor. She talks just like me. She don't give a fuck.
You talking about the one with the shortcut?
No, not not Shortfoot. Not
Shortcut.
Not
Lightfoot. Oh, Lightfoot.
No, I'm not talking about her. It's another. I'm going to show you her later. But she was talking and she was cursing out the politicians. And in a way, I was like, yes, girl, if you could be mayor, I could be mayor.
That's
and
right.
Just seeing that, like, okay, I don't have to be perfectly polished.
That's
I don't
right.
need to speak the Queen's English.
That's
and
right.
As long as I get out there, put myself out there, get my people behind me, I got a message, I got a plan, I could do it. So it is necessary. While it doesn't need to, like, Sukiana cannot be in London in front of the British thingy screaming, shaking my ass and eating. We don't need that 100,000%.
Oh my God.
But
is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But we do need a sexy red out there wearing her glasses, wearing her natural body after she just had a baby. We need that representation too.
We need variety.
But when that overtakes, like, the people, like the talented 10th, like, you know, the W.E.B. Du Bois said, the talented 10th are the 10% of African Americans that are empowered with the ability through education to lift up the other 90%. But now when that overpowers the talented 10th, then we have a problem.
But that's y'all, that's people like your fault.
Y'all How's got, my fault? What, it's his fault. What I took?
No, listen.
Why is fuck
people
me?
Like people, yeah. When I say y'all, people who have a platform, like y'all have a platform.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing to talk about the problem, but can you be a solution to the problem?
Mm-hmm.
So why is this the narrative? Because we are elevating only those voices. There are more successful
people.
I'm
glad you said that. I'm gonna tell you why. Because the masses do not care.
Okay.
They don't care because
they like that shit.
They like it. That shit is more entertaining. Mm-hmm. Zeus Network should never fucking exist. That is insane that you have these. Sometimes these are educated women that feel like they have to dumb themselves down to fit in, to do bullshit on TV.
But I will say, other races do the same ghetto shit we do. But we all right. So for example, I was watching a Freaknik documentary. It just came out number one on Hulu. So I was watching that last night, and they were complaining about why they were getting shut down. But the white kids was on spring break doing Girls Gone Wild, doing the same shit, and nobody was complaining. So it's like
they have a different starting point than we do.
Okay, I'll take that argument.
We coming in, and look at these niggas.
Yeah,
we coming in like from birth, and you know, we already are fighting against the tide. So when we come out and it's like, I'm about to just nigga it up. It's like, damn, bro, come on. Like, we already know we have to work 10 times harder to get the same shit. So why would we think, oh, damn, white people are able to do it, we can do it too? No, why would you want to do that? It's kind of like when women say, oh, if men can fuck a lot of bitches, I can fuck a lot of niggas. Why would you want to do that?
Don't.
Is that the example?
We gonna leave that one alone. What is the future of women to you? What do you think the future of women are?
I mean, for me, I'm gonna leave me first. And my goal is to have it all, mind, body, spirit, finances, and relationships. I don't believe in just having money as abundance. I'm gonna have the materials. I'm gonna have the relationships. I'm gonna have the family. I'm gonna have the friends. I'm gonna have the mission. The mission of my life is to be one of the most impactful women that ever lived, while living a quality of life and doing whatever I want for myself and for others. I believe that we need to start thinking about the economy economically as women. I think the women are like going to be the navigators of the future. I feel like more men are going to be navigated by women more. It's like it's resetting the clock. There was a time where, you know, people used to say, my grandmother made me great, my aunt made me great. You always hear a great man, you know, talking about some woman that taught him morals and principles. And I feel like there's a lot of women that's evolving a lot. Yeah, we got the Sukianas and the Sexy Reds, and I salute those girls because they figured it out and they doing more than a lot of these other women. Of course, I agree with not making them the only staple, but guess what? When you see one woman succeeding, it gives you permission to believe that you can succeed too. So for me, I only speak about what I want and what I'm going to do, what my contribution is going to be. I am going to elevate the mentality, the consciousness of the female. And I'm talking about in every area of life. You can have money, you can have happiness, you can have joy, you can have peace, you can have good health, you can have Rolls Royces and Bentleys and private planes and Birkin bags, and you can have God too. Like, you're gonna have everything you want. No area of your life has to lack. that's my contribution. I'm gonna be the example of that. So when you see me, you like, hold on, wait a minute. She dropped out of school in the 10th grade. She used to be a stripper, schemer, scammer. She was on Section 8, WIC, food stamps, all of that. Yup. And look at her now.
So what? So what turned it around for you? Because that's a lot of people's story right now, and I don't think a lot of people know Maya Angelou kind of had the same background. Mm-hmm. Like, so what turned it around for you?
So for me, I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I looked around and was like, okay, this was my mom's story. This was my dad's story. My mom was a hustler who was in the streets. She sold drugs. I spent time as a kid in prisons visiting my mom and my brother. Like, I knew what bricks looked like by the time I was 7. I've been in foster care. Like, I've been all that, abandoned everything, you know, suicidal, depressed, all of that. And I just woke up one day and was like, hell no, this is not going to be my reality. And I was just telling Vanessa in the car, I read at 18 years old this book called Think and Grow Rich, A Black mm-hmm. Choice. Mm-hmm. And I had dropped out of school in the 10th grade. I had my son when I was 15. He's 27 now. I had my daughter when I was 19. I was a stripper. And I was like, okay, first I thought you had to have an education to be rich. Because I saw my mom selling drugs. That wasn't rich to me. She had money every now and then. But who want to be living a life where you scared and you dodging and ducking the police and the robbers? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then my dad had a job. My dad worked at Transit for 29 years. And so I was able to see both parallels. One with a job, one in the streets. And honestly, I was like, I don't want either of their realities.
Yeah.
One was like job jail and one was like unsafe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I had no idea.
Job jail is real.
Yeah. Yeah. One was like job jail and one was like, you know, hustling in the streets. So it was me just deciding that I wanted more. And I'm going to tell you, so I'm from Miami. I moved to Atlanta in 2005. But my first time coming here was for Freakneek.
Wow.
And I used to be a dancer, so I used to work at what is that strip club called? What is the main one, y'all?
Magic City.
I worked at Magic City. Yeah. I worked at Booby Trap. I worked at Diamonds. Like, I used to dance here in Atlanta. I was a little more discreet back then. Mm-hmm. But when I came to Atlanta and I saw success in black people, I never seen black people succeeding like what I saw in Atlanta.
In masses.
Oh my God, you remember I'm from Miami. I see success, but Latinos are successful. Mm. Kudos to the Latinos. Everything was the Latinos. And the people that I saw winning in Miami were drug dealers or athletes or in the music industry. So I didn't see a place for me. That's why I love what T mm-hmm. is saying, because it's the truth. You need examples of success all across the board, not just because you're a rapper or because you're a housewife of somebody. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. for me, when I came to Atlanta and I saw black people winning and I found out that they were in real estate and they were in network marketing mm-hmm. and they were contractors and they were investors. And I'm like, oh shit, I could do this.
Yeah.
So when I saw success in other people, especially the black people, I was like, okay. And then I found out a lot of them didn't graduate from school either. I was mm-hmm. like, oh shit, I'm about to do this for real.
See, for me, it was like the opposite of that, because I'm from here. Like, so I grew up here. So when I was in college, it wasn't until I was college that I realized how special Atlanta was.
Yeah.
Because I have people coming who aren't from here that are coming here, and they're like coming from like Charlotte, New York, Texas, and like in the spots in the Midwest. And like, oh my God, I love Atlanta. Saying the same thing you're saying. I love Atlanta. There's so much opportunity for black people. I'm like, shit, it's not like that. Where you from?
Right.
Right.
I thought it was everywhere.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how advantaged I was in that situation. So, yeah, I'm glad I am in the city to where I can have people that look like me and be successful. So I never thought, like, shit, I grew up with Shirley Franklin. I grew up with, who's Mayor Jackson. I grew up seeing that. Wow. So, like, I don't know if I've ever seen a white mayor for Atlanta.
Wow. Well, you blessed. You blessed. That's not a lot of our story.
Yeah, like from the mayor, from the police department, the firefighters, my teachers. Yes. I didn't have a white teacher until like the end of middle school, and that was it.
Wow.
That was it.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That was a big culture shock for me, like coming down here and the police weren't crazy. I was like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah, they have their cases too, but like for the most part,
the first time I came into play, he was like, I am not NYPD, like you could calm down. Like I had an attitude. I was like, what do you want? And I was just so, and he was like, this is not NYPD, you could calm down. Like you're not in danger. Just take a chill pill. No, because I like, New York and
PTSD.
We're all dealing
with it.
Yeah, and you just don't know. Like, what you grow up in and what's in front of you, like, really is how you think the world is. Like, mm-hmm. even for me, when I first went to college, I'm from the hood. They taught us you got to fight the biggest person to get respect. So I go up to college. I'm up there trying to fight everybody, thinking that's how you get respect. And they're like, what is this crazy person doing up here? And then I was like, oh,
wow.
That's not how the world works.
Where'd you go to college?
Syracuse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm thinking, like, I'm coming from... The world does not work like the hood. Anybody who needs to know that. The hood is very selective. The outside world has different rules. So that was something I had to learn. So we have to take what's given to us and what's in front of us and decide, like you said, okay, what my mom's doing is not working for me, what my father's doing is not working for me, I have to create my own path. And salute to you for even figuring that out, because even me, we were taught to go to school. That was the only way out. Either rap or be an entertainer or get a college degree. Like, you got to walk that strength path. Nobody told us we could be entrepreneurs. I didn't know that. Right. I didn't think I could be a CEO of a company. I know I could work at one.
Right.
But I never once thought about owning my own company. And I love that that's a message you're sending to girls. Like, listen, if that path don't work and this one don't work, create a path. And that's a message that people definitely need. So you're doing God's work. So
thank you. I think a lot of people don't get... like, curious enough. Mm-hmm. Like, be curious. Mm-hmm. How you know that that's what you're supposed to be doing if you only try that one thing? How you know that you're supposed to go to college and do that if you just follow what the system said to do? Try different things. Fail at it. Mm-hmm. See if it works. Be curious to see what the world has to offer to you, especially if you don't like your current circumstances. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, you just like it because everybody said it's a good job. You know, I used to do a lot of things that people said was good. Me too. But I wasn't happy. I wasn't fulfilled. And I think that a lot more of us need to know that it's okay to be like, I don't feel confident here. I don't feel comfortable here. I know I'm destined for more. Mm-hmm. And when you feel that way, go find other people that's doing more. Get yourself a coach and a mentor and continue to soar. Don't get stuck and complacent because that's you doing more than everybody around you, or you went to college for that thing. Because mm-hmm. we change every I change every day. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, I am not the same person I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. I could have liked something yesterday. I used to love Fiji water. I don't even like Fiji water no more. I was the Fiji queen. So it's like, don't think you know me. I don't know me. I change like the weather. Mm-hmm. That's why they call me Stormy.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I like that. But wait, mentorship and coaching, like, just elaborate on that a little bit more, because I think that that's something that we need to dive in more, like getting someone to lead us and coach us in that direction. So you can't do everything on your own. You need somebody to guide you. You need somebody who, like I always tell people, what do you want to do? And then find somebody who's doing it right and follow them. See what they're doing right and coach them around. So like, that's just right. Speak to the audience as to how should they be able to vet a coach, or how they pick the person to kind of be their mentor. How does that process work?
First of all, I'm proud to know that, you know, this whole coaching and mentor thing is starting to be a thing, which is beautiful, because I was taught when I was a little girl to have an idol. Who do you idolize? You know, that's what I was taught. You know, who's your role model? Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't never hear coach and mentor. Like, what are you talking about, coach and mentor? You know, so I like that it's starting to be a thing. But I just think that the unfortunate part is everybody think they could be a coach and a mentor. Mm-hmm. And they really be thinking that they could be a coach or mentor. Like, when you get results from that thing you're trying to coach somebody on, then you teach somebody how to do what you've done if you're succeeding at that. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you got a little idea and you think, oh, gray looks good with that. I'm going to put those two things together. Now I'm going to tell everybody gray looks good with Graham Black, and now I have a business plan that you can launch a Graham Black business. I can tell you how to do it. Did it work for you? Did you become profitable with the gray and black theme? Mm-hmm. So I just think that's the sad part. And if you can market real good, you could act like you know any damn thing. These days, if you could get attention, you know, money follows attention, mm-hmm. then you could be a coach or mentor. So I would just say definitely be open to coaches and mentors. I would not be who I am today if I did not have coaches and mentors. Like, I am telling you right now, like, if you was to go meet my coaches or, you know, some of my mentors, you would be like, oh my God, she acts just like this person. Mm-hmm. She acts just like this person. Oh my God. You'll be like, it would blow your mind how much I am just like my coaches and mentors. And they are, some of them are billionaires. Some of them make hundreds of millions of dollars. They are successful. Mm-hmm. But I earned that right. So I just think that we got to be very careful with the results and the evidence and the receipts that somebody has before you take that person as a coach. Because you'll be following somebody going the wrong damn way.
Yeah.
And paying for it, too. So yeah. That's just be careful. You know, again, this is not a shot on somebody that's trying to be a coach. Don't be a coach until what you are trying to coach somebody on has worked. Even if it's free, do it yourself. Be the example that this works. And then mentors is not really somebody you pay for. And I think that's the misconception in the business world, too. A mentor is free. A mentor is someone that has taken a liking to you and they want to pour into you. A mentor knows about your children, your hang-ups, your weaknesses, your strengths. A mentor has a spiritual tie to you. A mentor navigates you through life totally, not just the skill set of launching a podcast, or not the skill set of selling hair, or the skill set of being a top recruiter in network marketing. No, a mentor navigates your whole life. They know about your kids. They know about you, you know, what makes you happy. They know about your little boyfriends, your girlfriends. They know everything about you, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And a mentor is not somebody you pay for. That's a relationship that you earn through cultivation and time. Mm-hmm. And so we don't know about that in the culture because a lot of us don't have coaches and mentors. But I am an example of how going from food stamps to a fortune could be your reality if you have a coach or a mentor. I've made millions of dollars. I've coached in my network marketing career. I've been in network marketing for 15 years. I've totally coached about 150 families to millionaire, multimillionaire status. And not a lot of people know that about me because my industry is kind of like taboo. Mm-hmm. But I have results. So smart people who hear me, they want to become successful one day, they listen to me differently because they're like, wait a minute, I like her style because she comes from where I come from. So I'd rather have her as my coach because she knows how to connect with me. So that's my uniqueness, and that's why coaching and mentorship is important and different.
Yeah, and also you mentioned like with a mentor, there's not really any, that's somebody who takes a liking to you. But a lot of people get, when you talk about coaching, they think it needs to be free advice. I don't believe in free advice, especially
Kodak,
I don't like, because I've perfected this. You're coming to me for a reason. So if you want me to be, if you want my help and you want me to really be invested in making sure you pop, time is valuable. Because mm-hmm. there may be some times where it doesn't work and you need actual like guidance. Like, no, I need to sit down and examine whatever you're doing and figure out where this went wrong. Mm-hmm. So yes, if you want somebody to be invested in you, compensate them for their time.
I totally agree, but I think what we got to do as businessmen and women, we have to clearly put that package together mm-hmm. because our people don't understand that. They don't understand. Here I am as this, I mean, you at 103.5 The Beat, right? Mm-hmm. I could show you how to get to 103.5 The Beat and even beyond. Mm-hmm. I've done it. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that. You could go the long route, make mistakes, and never get here. Or you could have the shortcut and pay me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to charge you way less than you would have paid college or way less in time than you would have wasted trying to go your route. So pay me for the shortcut. Mm-hmm. What I've learned is that we just got to have a better package to package it so people will respect it more. Because they don't understand calling you for advice and being on your phone, you talking to them, you spending mm-hmm. time with them, mm-hmm. is you away from what makes you profitable.
Money, yeah.
So you got to package it right. And that's when you package it right, they respect it a little better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure,
They have to manage expectations of each other. Too,
yeah, it'd be our fault.
This is what I'm giving you and this is what you're getting from me.
That's
so
it. If you want it, here's the offer.
This,
if you want
this
it, pay for it.
Takes an hour of my time. Like, yeah.
And that's not
like
even like that.
Answer.
I'm talking about like really professionally
package it. Yeah.
And it's not like...
Have an actual website.
Yeah, don't nitpick. Yeah, don't come tell me I'm going to charge you $150 for this advice. Like, that's petty. Package the whole package and say...
Yeah, you need tiers, different mm-hmm. tiers for everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure, for sure, for sure.
But I think that that's something that as a culture we're really catching on getting better at. Like, we really are understanding business a little bit better, marketing, how to cross-brand, how the importance of collaborations are.
Right.
So I'm excited for where we're going.
That's right.
But how do you navigate the noise? Like, because you said, like, there's a lot of people trying to be coaches. There's a lot of people who don't believe. You said that industry is kind of taboo. How do you navigate that noise and stay successful and focused through all the noise?
So, great question. So I teach people the vision for your life will create the discipline for your life. So I have a vision for my life. Most people don't stop beyond money, beyond the materials. Most people don't stop and say, this is the beginning. Let me stop and see the end in the beginning. Because when you see the end in the beginning, the middle is not so hard. So I stay focused because I know where I'm going. Like, I have a clear path of where I want to be at what I call my end. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't have that. They just go with the wind. They're like dead fish, whatever popping today, whoever friend call them, whatever is going on today, they there. They mm-hmm. at every party, every event, on everybody line. They want to do everything. If something does not align with where I see myself, I'm just not doing it. Mm-hmm. If me and you, like, I'm one of those people, like, I would give people chances. Like, I love to help people. Like, I am addicted to the end result of where I see a person. I'll give you chances, but my whole concept is if our vision don't align, now is not the time. Because if I see myself going somewhere and you are stopping me from getting there because you're lazy or you don't have a vision or you're not focused or you're not disciplined, I'll cut off relationships quick because I know where I'm going. So I give you, I call it like the 3 strikes, you're out rule. I have a real 3 strikes, you're out rule in my mind. You don't know that I'm counting, but in my mind, I'm counting. So that's how I just got a vision. And mm-hmm. my vision keeps me focused and disciplined. And there's nothing nobody could do to take me off my vision.
Are you scared of burning bridges, though?
burning bridges?
Yeah, like, you know how you be like, oh, you know what, you want to drink strikes, I'm good. But what if that person gets successful later or something?
I don't
like
care about success. It's a, we talk. I'm a big communicator.
Okay.
Like, if you do something wrong, like, I'm a coach and a mentor in real life.
You going to let them know? You like, oh, you talk
yeah,
it through?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm a grown-up. I'm a woman. No. If I love you, first of all, if I gave you proximity to me, it's because I see something in you. So when you drop the ball or when something is not going the way it's supposed to go, we're going to talk.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to just cut you off. That's not right. So I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to say, hey, I think you're amazing. Da, 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 da. But what do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
Or if I knew something that could help you get further along, it's going to work for me because I like you. I want to keep you around. Do you mind me telling you some things you could do to get better for our relationship?
See how you say it. It's how you say it.
So how do you coach or do you coach women through issues or navigating through dating and relationships?
So, yeah. So I'm a coach. I'm a wealth coach, right? And wealth is not just money. So one way that I coach people, I have a community. It's called Girl Hold My Hand.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Yes, thank you. It's called Girl Hold My Hand. I do events. I meet with them every morning, well, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. We have a morning meetup. We meditate. I give them a message. We talk. And then I have an event called The Awakening. And actually, Friday of my event called The Awakening, for like 5 hours, we have something called Pillow Talk,
mm-hmm.
where all we do is talk about dating, relationships. I bring in different experts, different relationship, you know, not specialists or experts, but people that are succeeding in their relationships or people that's young and ain't succeeding, but all the girls like.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring in the right people to help navigate through conversations. So I don't portray to be an expert in every area, but I curate different events and I do different things to put people in that environment to get what they need.
So what type of men do you advise these women to stay away from or attract themselves to?
So everybody should make their list. Like, I am nobody to tell you what type of man you should desire or want, but I would tell you what I would like to see. Number one, I call it Chris. Every woman should want a man that has Chris. C-H-R-I-S. Credit. He should have some type of health routine, something he does help for his health, not just physical health, but physical health is one, and mental health. Look at him. Look at that man. If that man does not have a certain type of routine when it comes to mental and physical health, you are in a situation that's going to be a very disastrous situation. The third thing is real estate. Nowadays, you got to make sure a man got somewhere to stay. Is that his place? Is he renting it? Is it in his name? Is it his brother's house? Is it his homeboy's house? Is he spending the night over your house a little bit too much because he really ain't got nowhere to stay?
Mm.
These men don't be having no house. So let's find out, do he have some kind of real estate? And I'm talking about, it could be an apartment.
Yeah.
Whose name is it in?
Yeah.
Is it in a real apartment? Is it one of them? It's crazy.
So no roommates.
Cell phone, not even.
No. So that then
first
I.
First of all, yes, it is.
Then I. And let me finish. And this is for me. And if you are a mature woman, if you are a high valued woman, that has plans and visions, you cannot be tying up. I did it for many years. I'm trying to teach people not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the I is investments. You must have a way that you can make some money online. Mm-hmm. I don't want a man that has to always report to somewhere. You have to be able to. If I want to stay in the house this day or travel this day, can you go? I don't need you telling me you got to call off or you got to open. I want a man that has investments, that has a diversified portfolio, that makes money digitally. And then the S is support.
Yeah.
I've learned that a lot of men don't have no brothers, no homeboys, no mentors, no coaches, no pastor, nobody that they talk to that they could get advice from. And so those are the things a woman should look for in a man as a basis, the base foundational things before they even date him. If I would have known that years ago, I wouldn't have dated. I probably would have only dated one man instead of the 6 that I dated.
For sure. Coach Stormy, kicking it with the homies. Appreciate you for coming down to ATL.
I'm traumatized over here. I just want to say.
Yeah, you know, you got some
time. Leave him.
I'm like, Chris.
Leave him now.
Like, oh,
he didn't. What it was, Chris? He didn't hit one letter.
I said,
he didn't hit one letter. That man. Sorry to that man.
Nothing to say.
Sorry to that man. Listen, I appreciate Coach Stormy coming and kicking with the homies. Tamir back in the building, of course. Another episode of the Big Homies House. Ooh, happy Women's History Month. Thank you for coming
and spinning
that game.
Thank
you. Let the people know your ads, your website, everything.
I'm going to keep it very simple. Follow me on Instagram at Coach Stormy. And, of course, if you are full of shit and you want a flat stomach, you want clean skin and a beautiful energy, get you some Candy Cleanse. Go to CandyCleanseWeightLoss.com.
ATL Worldwide. Homies, let's get it.